Welcome to the Not Old Better Show, the show covering all things health, wellness, culture, and more. The show for all of us who aren't old, we're better. Each week, we'll interview superstars, experts, and ordinary people doing extraordinary things, all related to this wonderful experience of getting better, not older. Now, here's your host, the award-winning Paul Vogelzang.
Welcome to the Not Old Better Show Art of Living interview series on radio and podcast. I'm Paul Vogelzang, and today's episode is sponsored by Seed, promoting health and heart health for our Not Old Better Show audience, and by Wild Health, a proactive and preventative approach to healthcare called precision medicine. Today, we explore the vibrant intersections of life, culture, and the art of thriving at any age. We're diving into a conversation that challenges the conventional narratives of aging and invites us to embrace each year of our lives with style, grace, and a dash of rebellion. You're going to love this show. In a world that often equates youth with beauty and relevance, our guest today stands as a beacon of inspiration and a testament to the power of reinvention. Our guest today is Lynn Slater, a former college professor turned global fashion icon and model. She's not only redefined her own path, but she has also become a symbol of aging with audacity. At a time when society expects one to fade into the background, Lynn Slater stepped into the spotlight, launching her own blog and Instagram pages known as Accidental Icon, and quickly captured the hearts of followers worldwide with her distinctive style, wisdom, and unapologetic embrace of aging. But Lynn Slater's journey is more than just a tale of fashion success. It's a narrative rich with insights into authenticity, self-expression, and the beauty of growing older. Her recent book, How to Be Old: Lessons in Living Boldly from the Accidental Icon, is not just a memory. We're going to be talking about that today. It's a manifesto for anyone looking to live boldly at any age. Through her story, Lynn Slater invites us to reconsider what it means to be old, to drain the term of its pejorative connotations, and to see the later years of life not as a time of decline, but as a stage rich with potential for growth, creativity, and reinvention, all of which we talk about here on the Not Old Better Show all the time. Well, Lynn Slater will be talking with us today about the lessons that she's learned on her extraordinary journey, exploring the significance of slow fashion and sustainability, and uncover the secrets to maintaining authenticity in an age of digital influence. Lynn Slater's story is a powerful reminder that age isn't just a number. It's a badge of honor, a source of wisdom, and a starting point for new adventures. So join us as we embark on this enlightening conversation with Lynn Slater, where we will discover that being old is not about slowing down. It's about living your best life, embracing every moment, and proving that the art of living well is timeless. Welcome to the Not Old Better Show Art of Living interview series here on radio and podcast. Again, I'm Paul Vogelzang. Today with Lynn Slater, we will bring you these wonderful stories, the conversations and insights that inspire us to live life to the fullest, no matter the year on your birth certificate. So let's begin. Lynn Slater, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
I have to tell you, it's good to talk to you. You are very well known. You've written this wonderful new book, How to Be Old. I think our audience here is just going to love this. And you started this wonderful blog in your early 60s, the Accidental Icon. I want to talk about that. But let's talk about the transformation that you made, because you were a college professor, you became a fashion influencer in your early 60s. I get it. I certainly understand that. I know many in our audience will, but what led you to make a change like that, especially to enter an industry that really is so focused on youth?
Well, I think my sort of conscious impulse at the time was I was feeling a little bored in academia, a little constrained, and I was looking to do something creative. And this has been a pattern with me in my life, that whenever I'm feeling a little stuck or burnt out or not feeling challenged in my work, I will go off and I will take a class in something completely different. And something that is more, I think, I would say, like in the expressive arts, like photography or improv or creative writing. And I've done that pretty much my entire life. And so this time I had an interest in fashion, but not sort of trends or style, but the meaning of clothes and how clothes are used as signifiers. And because I had worked in a lot of settings where people would make judgments about a person based on what they wore or how they looked. And so I started taking some classes at the Fashion Institute of Technology, just very random things, jewelry fabrication, sewing. And I took a course called Starting Your Own Vintage Store. And as I was taking these courses, a lot of the professors and students would stop me and say, "You have great style. You should write a blog." And in the vintage class, I was really encouraged to do that. And so I kind of thought, okay, this is something I could do right now. Unlike some of the other things like becoming a fashion designer or something like that, which is going to take me some time, this is something I can do immediately. And I have a skill set that I could bring to it. You know, I know how to write, I can make a website. And fortunately, my life partner, Calvin, is a photographer. So I had kind of everything I needed to do it. And so my impulse really was to write in a different way than the way academia, you know, says you have to write, and to, you know, really express myself in a different way and to learn about something that I really did not know a lot about, which was the fashion system. And so I had no intention of doing it ever full time. I had no goals for it. I never, in the beginning, never had any idea you could make money from doing something like this. It was purely a passion project. I think as I was writing the memoir, right, you go back and you revisit. And I think that I had just turned 60. I was starting to sort of see how you could be treated a little bit differently as you're beginning to age. And I think unconsciously I did it to say, well, you want me to be invisible, but guess what? I'm not having it. And I think in the early years of my blog, I didn't really talk about age at all. It was more society putting age on me about it, because, you know, people would say, "How do you feel about being old?" And I would say, "I'm performing it. Look at my photos." And I think that doing something that was so visual made an impact and engaged people far more than if I had said, aging is great and I'm against ageism and et cetera. Because I knew from teaching, you can't beat people over the head with something, right? You have to engage them into a conversation, particularly about hard things like ageism and other isms. And so I think it was a device that allowed me to challenge ideas that people had about age without saying a word about it.
Fascinating. It's such a wonderful story. And the book is wonderful, How to Be Old, Lessons in Living Boldly from the Accidental Icon. So what was the accident? Was the accident the realization, or was the accident the success? I mean, when you look back on this time period, it's been about 10 years since you started the Accidental Icon. What do you see? Where is the success coming from?
I first of all, it was a huge surprise to me, to my family, when it got to its highest point, which was probably around 2017 to 2019. I think that was really the high point. And so I think I was absolutely shocked by it. It was just unfathomable to me that this had happened to me. And so I think that I felt that I was more successful, ironically, in the early years before I was earning money, or even before I was super well known, because I was really doing a lot of very interesting things, like being in music videos and meeting young fashion designers and modeling in their shows, and you know, just these opportunities would come my way and I would just take them, and I was having fun and really enjoying myself. And at that time, I was really engaging a lot of young people and having really great conversations with them about why did they feel like they had to do everything before they were 30, and sort of look at what I'm doing, and I'm in my 60s, so you can chill out, you can relax, you know? So I think for me, it was also the success that I had at that time was that I'm really kind of an ordinary woman. I'm not a celebrity. I'm not classically beautiful. I had gray hair. I had wrinkles. I was not rich. And yet, I was attractive. I was an attractive symbol of age to a lot of people. And I think that that was successful because it was a realistic person. It was an ordinary person who was aging. Mm-hmm. And I think that over time, that has changed. And now the person who is thought to be cool aging is someone who is trying their best to look young. Mm-hmm. I think we have gone to the other extreme now of sort of what they call positive aging, active aging, where if you really look at who is being represented, they are really just older versions of younger people. So for me, I was way more successful in the beginning, even though I wasn't making money in terms of making a difference, than I was when I was at the height of making money and being known.
Hi, it's Paul. We'll be right back with our guest, Lynn Slater, but I want to mention one of our sponsors today, Wild Health. I'm thrilled to share something that's revolutionized the way I think about healthcare, and that's Wild Health. health. Let's be honest, healthcare often feels impersonal. Like you, I've been shuffled through appointments where the advice felt as generic as the waiting room magazines, but it's not just frustrating, it's concerning because no two people are the same. So why is our healthcare? This is where Wild Health has been a game changer for me. Co-founded by ER doctors, Wild Health's precision medicine is not just about reacting to health issues. It's about preventing them with a care plan crafted for your genetics, lifestyle, and goals. And the results, they're in the numbers. Consider this, for those with high LDL, a key heart disease risk factor, 67% improved under Wild Health's guidance. That's the kind of difference we're talking about. Wild Health can do all this because they use your genetics, your biometrics, and your lifestyle data to help determine what your body needs as far as nutrition, exercise, sleep, supplements, and more, so you can function at your best now and in the long run. And at Wild Health, it's all about you. For me, it's been an eye-opening journey. Understanding my health at a molecular level has empowered me to make changes that I feel every day. More energy, better focus, and yes, even enjoying that occasional steak without the guilt because it's all tailored to my body. With Wild Health, you're not just a number. You have a dedicated team, including a precision medicine physician and health coach, accessible right through an app. It's virtual, it's nationwide, and it is highly personalized. Wild Health is generously extending Not Old Better Show listeners 20% off the cost of membership with code NOB. All of this will be in our show notes, but head over to wildhealth.com/NOB and use the code NOB at checkout. Make this commitment to yourself and start taking control of your health today at wildhealth.com/NOB. And now let's get back to our interview with Lynn Slater about her new book, How to Be Old. Well, congratulations on everything. The book, your career, the photographs in the book are lovely. And you really do just have this wonderful sense about you and a great style and a really interesting take on aging that I think we don't encounter often. And you make this statement about aging with which I think so many in my audience are just going to view as powerful and just a kind of a rallying cry. You say, "I'm going to keep saying I'm old over and over until it drains all the pejorative connotations from the word." You seem adamant about this, and in my research, you're a bit defiant about this subject, and so I really found that to be just a great saying of yours. And I wonder, should we even be celebrating age? Should we just be celebrating the fact that we're kind of all in this together going forward?
Well, I think we should be celebrating the fact that we're alive, mm-hmm. right? Because the alternative to being old is
right.
Not being here. Right. And I think if you look at the dictionary definition of old, it's someone or something that has been around for a long time. I actually, that's a privilege. You know, there's a lot of people who don't have that privilege and for whom there's shortened lifespans and, you know, even if they are older, there's chronic illnesses and things like that. And so I think that I'm saying it, and I'm hoping, especially now, that I'm conveying it in a way that the majority of people aging can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think we have these two very polarized views of aging. And I'm going to use a metaphor. I'm sure you're probably aware of that show, The Golden Bachelor.
Mm-hmm. I am.
Yep. I had a lot of feelings about it.
Yeah, me too. We did here in our household. Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to just use a scene from the very first episode that really conveys these two polarized views, which to me are dangerous. So we have this woman come out of the limo to meet the Golden Bachelor. And she has a gray wig. She has curly gray hair, a house dress, and a walker.
I remember this scene.
And he very disingenuously, you know, says, oh, do you need help? And she flings off the gray hair, which is a wig, throws away the walker, rips open the house coat. She's wearing a strapless, you know, perfectly buff body. And she says, do I look like I need help? And the danger of that. So we have these two polarized views. Either you're going to be demented and sick and infirm, or you're going to be perfectly young and beautiful and fit forever. And the danger for me is that neither of those really reflects the day-to-day reality of the vast majority of older people who are living right now. Mm-hmm. And the danger of us saying, do we look like we need help, is that governments and innovators and everyone else is going to say, no, you don't. It's an individual thing to be a healthy ager. And the fact is that there's many structural conditions around us, depending on our identity, that really figure into how we are going to be old. And so really, that is sort of what I'm very interested in now, is what are realistic representations of the reality of the everyday life for the majority of people who are aging?
You just, again, I've said this, you have a wonderful sense of self, and you're very genuine. You really do have a beauty about you, and the clothes that you wear are striking. But I think what does come through most, and especially in talking to you, Lynn Slater, is this authenticity. And I think that genuine part of you is what is so powerful and relates to so many. And I wonder how you maintain that. How do you, because it would be very easy, I think, to get caught up in the bright lights, in the photography, the black and the beautiful black and white images, because there are some gorgeous ones of you.
Well, I'm going to, you know, in the book, I do out myself that when I transitioned and started doing a lot of sponsored posts on Instagram, that I really did lose my authenticity. Mm. And I really lost myself. And many of my followers, they weren't happy with sponsored posts, but they have always been so supportive of me. That they kind of gave me a pass. But I think that once you start doing that kind of influencer work, that there's a lot of constraints. You know, you get briefs, you are told what kind of photos to take, you're told what you should say in your caption. And it literally just took away my authenticity, my creativity. I began to be very, very unhappy. I was feeling very burnt out. I was not getting the pleasure from this that I had in the early days of doing it. And so right before the pandemic, I was really at a point where I was saying, you know, how am I going to continue to do this moving forward? Because I can't do it the way I've been. And then the pandemic hit and everything stopped. which gave me even more time to reflect and to think about what I had been doing, which was basically promoting products. And how had that happened to me? How had I kind of let that happen to me? And I mean, that really is another story about what we value in society. Because I have worked as a social worker my entire career, mm-hmm. and a professor. And I had situations where for doing maybe 2 days work, I would be paid almost the equivalent of my yearly salary as a professor with a PhD. Mm-hmm. And so for a good part of my social work career, I worked in not-for-profits that did not have pensions, that did not have retirement plans. And it was pretty late in my life, my early 50s, that I was in a situation where I could start saving for retirement. So I had a lot of catching up to do. And so I think, you know, in looking back, that sort of how much money I was making fed into my worry about would I be okay when I do retire, when I am old. And unfortunately for me, it did feel like I compromised my values a bit. So again, I'm a critical thinker. I'm always assessing. I'm always trying to be in the moment. I think being involved in social media, which is life at 500 miles an hour, which does not allow you time to do the kind of thinking that you ought to. The pandemic, you know, the silver lining of it for me was that it just made everything stop. And it gave me that time to reflect and to say, what now? Because you can't go on. And so I started writing a lot more during the pandemic. I had really gotten away from my blog writing when I was traveling all over the world and doing all these commercials and things like that. And I started writing. I started to do mini blogging on Instagram instead of promoting things. People seemed to like it. And I really rediscovered my passion for writing during that time. And missing my family and not seeing my grandchildren, sort of everything got put in perspective. And we decided to move out of the city. We moved to be closer to my family. I'm 10 minutes away from my grandchildren. And just began another reinvention of a different kind of life than the one that I had been living as accidental icon. And that's the beauty, right, of reinvention, because it's a hopeful process. You believe in the future. You believe that you have more to do. And so for me, reinvention and reimagining is what helped me start Accidental Icon. It is what made me change and reinvent again when I was not happy. And so here I am today, really being a writer.
Hi, it's Paul. We'll be right back with our guest, Lynn Slater. She's the author of the blog, Accidental Icon, and she has written the new book, How to Be Old. You know, it's often the small things in life that can make the biggest difference, like how a smile from a stranger can brighten your day, or how our sponsor today, Seeds DS-01 Daily Symbiotic, can support your gut health and by extension, your overall wellness. This isn't just any probiotic. It contains 24 clinically and scientifically studied strains that are science-backed for your well-being and your well-aging. Personally, integrating seed into my daily life has been a game changer. It's not just about the ease of incorporating these two capsules into my routine. It's about how they support a vibrant gut microbiome, which is foundational to health. Since taking seed, I've noticed a difference in my skin's health. My complexion appears better. My whole being is better, which is just one of the many benefits that come from nurturing your entire body, and particularly your gut. So let's talk about heart health. Seed supports the balance of our inner systems, including those that contribute to heart health. It's all about the symbiosis of our body's natural functions, and seed understands that well. So here's your chance to experience the benefits for yourself. Trust your gut with Seed's DS-01 Daily Symbiotic. Head over to seed.com/NOB. All of this will be in our show notes. Use the code 25NOB for an exclusive 25% off your first month. That's seed.com/NOB, promo code 25NOB for 25% off of your first month of Seed's DS-01 Daily Symbiotic. Take that small step for your health. It could make all the difference. And now back to our interview with Lynn Slater, the accidental icon. Our guest today is author Lynn Slater. Lynn Slater's new book, How to Be Old, is available for pre-order at any one of your favorite sites. It will be released on the 12th of March. I found, too, Lynn, that the audiobook is narrated by you. That's going to be wonderful to have and to listen to. The book is really a fascinating book because well, for one thing, I really enjoyed all the photos, but I also enjoy the way that you've broken it down because each chapter is really kind of tied to this 60s through 70s kind of age bracket that you lived, and you go, so one part of the book is 65, and you talk about don't be influenced, even if you're an influencer. And then I thought 67 was really interesting because you talk about learning to do improv amongst the various changes and kind of awareness that you have over this. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by learning to do improv? How did you do that?
Well, interestingly, you know, I mentioned before that throughout my career, when I sort of felt burnt out or uncreative, I would go and take classes. And earlier during my social work career, I needed a sort of break because I was doing a lot of work with trauma. And so I needed to reconnect with my body in some way. And so I started taking improv classes. And probably one of the best investments I ever made, because it really helps you to not only be a good social worker, because you never know what a client is going to throw into the room, but it helped me to be a really good professor, because I could really think on my feet and respond in the moment. And I think it also helped me to be successful as accidental icon. Mm-hmm. And it also comes from something I learned from my mother, which is, you know, my mother had six children. She was a stay-at-home mom. My father worked, and, you know, we did not have a lot of resources. And so my mother found ways to creatively make do with almost nothing. She could make a Halloween costume that looked professional from a cardboard box. And I think that the thing about improvisation is that you don't need a lot of money. You don't need much. You basically can do it just wearing the clothes you're wearing. And it really is, how am I going to respond in the moment when something I don't anticipate gets thrown at me? How do I quickly take that in and respond in the moment? And I think that is a skill that has just served me so well. You know, during the pandemic, I was still doing some sponsored posts, and I'm in a 650 square foot apartment, and I basically had a white wall, which was all I was willing to show of my home. Mm-hmm. And I had to think about, all right, how do I make content under these circumstances, which basically is a blank white wall? And so it forced me to have to get back and be more creative again, and to refine that sort of making something from nothing, because that's pretty much what I did when I started Accidental Icon. I basically had a website, my partner had a camera, and I had consignment store clothes. Mm. That was it, you know? So I think the big lesson with improv is that you can make a whole world without needing a lot of things or a lot of money to make that happen.
Lynn Slater has been our guest today. Lynn Slater is author of the new book, How to Be Old, Lessons in Living Boldly from the Accidental Icon. The book is already getting great reviews. I love what Anne Helen Peterson says about the book, too. How to Be Old is a story of aging, of course, but it's primarily a story of living with verve, with introspection, and with great majesty. I think that says a lot. It says a lot about you as I've gotten to know you through my research and now having talked to you. I wonder if you just give us one final answer, and then we'll let you go to today, Lynn, because it's been such a nice time talking to you, but I know you're very busy. Maybe just leave us with a bit of motivation so that we, you know, many in our audience are told to slow down, you know, as we get a little bit older. That's not how you've operated. You have hit the fast forward button. But I think we're still kind of, we have that, we have that kind of that rigidity in thought, perhaps, that we need to slow down a little bit. That's just not always the case. And how are you keeping that gusto in your life every day? Just maybe give us a little bit of a motivational tip here.
Yeah, well, I'm going to use a metaphor that I like to use about aging. It's comes from design thinking. It's a little exercise. It's called the rose, the thorn, and the bud. So for me, aging, first of all, we're all aging uniquely. And so each individual has to apply this to themselves. So, you know, I have a list. The rose is all the amazingly fabulous things about being old. The thorn are some of the challenges. You know, I have had cataract surgery. I now have tinnitus. There's things that begin to happen to your body that you don't always have control over, and that present challenges, which to your slowness may slow you down. However, the bud is how technology and innovation and our own creativity can respond to those challenges in ways that allow us to keep doing what we want to do. Because you are going to slow down. That is a fact. I do not have the same energy I had when I was 60, but that doesn't mean that I have to limit my life, or that slowness must hold me back from doing the things that I'm passionate about. So I think if you make a list, what are the roses? What are the thorns? And then that's the research part. What is out there? What can help me address that challenge so that I can keep doing what is most meaningful to me? And I think that is how we design a beautiful and life-giving older life.
That is a fantastic answer. It was so refreshing to talk to you, Lynn Slater. You've just been a great interview. I knew you would, and so I thank you. Congratulations on all of this hard work. Let us do, you know, those of us who are going to be interviewing you, of course, over the course of the next several weeks and months, let us do the heavy lifting. You don't have to worry about promoting it. This book will promote itself, and I'll do my best to make sure.
I'm gladly over.
Again, congratulations. Glad to hear that you're living close to your family and your grandchildren. They are so important, and I'm sure they are the better for it. But great work, and please come back on the show, because we'd love to talk to you again. This subject of aging is one that I certainly don't have a handle. I'm trying to learn every single day, and I know our audience is too, but you seem to be doing a lot of right things, so thank you.
Thank you for having me. It was a lovely conversation.
Thank you. My thanks to Lynn Slater for her time today. Her recent book, How to Be Old, Lessons in Living Boldly from the Accidental Icon, is available now. My thanks to sponsors of today's episode, Seed, promoting health and heart health for our Not Old Better Show audience, and by Wild Health, a proactive and preventative approach to healthcare called precision medicine. Please support our sponsors as they in turn support the show. My thanks to you, our wonderful audience here on radio and podcast. Please be well, be safe, and let's talk about better. The Not Old Better Show on radio and podcast. Thanks, everybody. We will see you next week.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Not Old Better Show.